Please turn with me in your Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This evening we come to consider verses 12 through 15. But for the sake of context, I'm going to begin our reading all the way back at verse 3. Because Peter in verses 12 through 15 is referring back to those things that we have covered over the last number of weeks in verses 3 through 11. As we get to verses 12 through 15, however, I want you to give careful attention to the way that Peter speaks about this idea of reminding. The title of our sermon tonight is Regular Reminding, and I want you to pay particular attention to the qualifications that Peter adds in terms of these regular reminders. I want you to pay attention to that because you'll see the emphasis that Peter adds to these things so that we might understand the importance of these regular reminders in our lives. So again, we'll give our careful attention to the reading of God's Word now, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, but then focusing tonight on verses 12 through 15. Let us remember again that this is the living and abiding Word of God. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Amen. This is God's Word. Let's bow briefly for prayer. Our gracious God in heaven, we bow ourselves before you now and seek again your blessing upon your Word. Lord Jesus, you have taught us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. Lord, we understand this to a degree, but you understand it completely. And so we pray that you would give us the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we consider this word tonight. We pray that this word might have its full effect in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we come begging for you to give us your Holy Spirit, that we might be, as this word has even said, stirred up by your word tonight. Do this so that you might be glorified and so that our hearts might overflow with praise. So we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, earlier this week, I read a story about a man who could well be called the absent-minded professor. This man was very, very forgetful. He would forget his keys, his wallet, sometimes his socks. If it wasn't for his very patient and enduring wife, this man probably would have long ago lost his job. Well, one morning he came down for breakfast and his wife said to him, with a smile, "Dear, don't forget, today is moving day. While you're at work today, while you're at campus, movers are going to come. They're going to move all of our stuff from this house to our new house just a couple of blocks away." Well, he tried to reassure her that she had nothing to worry about. After all, they had been planning for this move for months and months. He, after all, had hired the movers to come. She had nothing to worry about. She smiled at him and said, "Dear, please don't forget. Today is moving day. Remember, when you leave campus today, you're not driving here. You're driving to our new home." He promised not to forget again, and he grabbed his briefcase and his lunchbox, and he headed off to campus. To help him remember, his wife put a post-it note in his briefcase and another in his lunchbox. She even called him early in the afternoon and said, "Don't come to the old house. Come to the new house." Well, all of her efforts were in vain, because at 5 o'clock, when the professor left campus, he absent-mindedly drove straight to his old house. He put his key in the lock, and the door opened. He walked in, and he saw that everything was gone. He was nervous. Did his family leave him? He got scared. Was there some sort of foul play afoot? After walking around the house for about 10 minutes, worrying and fretting, he remembered, "Today is moving day." But then he had another fear. Where did they move? He couldn't remember. And so he ran outside in a panic, and he saw a boy riding his bike down the street. He flagged down the boy, and he said, "Young man, did you know the family that lived in this house? Can you tell me where they moved?" That boy got a bit of a frustrated look upon his face, and he said, "Dad, Mom told me you'd forget." Now, we can all relate to stories like these, because far too often we find ourselves forgetful in this life. All of us, no matter the stage of life, we find that remembering is one of the most difficult things to do. Now, sadly, our memory becomes one of the clearest ways that we can see the effect of sin upon each of us. Our memories are one of the ways that we see the effects of the fall in our lives throughout our lives. How so? Well, think about your own experience. Because of sin, we remember the very things we would most like to forget. And conversely, because of sin, we sadly forget the very things that we would most like to remember. Again, this is where we see the effects of sin upon our memories. We forget the things we'd most like to remember, and we remember those things that we would most like to forget. In this way, you and I are just like the absent-minded professor. We need regular reminders. We need the very regular reminding that Peter is writing about here to us in God's Word. I want you to reflect now upon your life this last week. What did you regularly remember? What did you more regularly remember? Did you more regularly remember your own sin? Or did you more regularly remember your Savior? Did you more regularly remember your failures and your faults? Or did you more regularly remember your Heavenly Father? Did you more regularly remember your sinful past? Or did you more regularly remember your sinless and secure future? Which of these things did you more regularly remember? Well, tonight we are blessed to consider, by God's Word, His design for our regular reminding. So we're going to consider tonight 4 aspects of this regular reminding. Let's begin with the first. The reasons for reminding. The reasons for reminding. Peter tells us why we need regular reminding. And here in verse 12, he gives us 2 reasons. The first of those 2 reasons is found in the first word, therefore. Therefore, what is that word therefore? Well, This word is pointing us back to verses 3 through 11. Peter is saying, because of everything that we have just considered in verses 3 through 11, we need a regular reminder. So the first reason is that the content that we have considered demands it. The content that we considered in verses 3 through 11 demand our regular reminding. So remember. Remember what we considered in verses 3 through 11. Beginning at verses 3 and 4, Peter unpacks for us the foundation of our faith. Consider again the mind-blowing and life-changing realities that he declared to us in just those two verses. Remember how God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Remember how we have been granted God's precious and very great promises. Remember how we have become partakers of the divine nature. And remember how we have escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Think upon each of those four things, and each of those is worth remembering. So how much more the whole of them? How much more all four of them? The content that we have considered demands our remembering. But there's more. Remember the exhortation found in verses 5 through 7. There Peter unpacks for us God's will for our lives. As he enumerates each of those seven graces, we see Peter painting a beautiful picture of what awaits us in the Christian life. He sets before us a vivid portrait of Jesus Christ so that we might long more and more for the work of Christ's sanctification in us. Once again, as we consider each of those seven graces, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love, each of those is worth our remembering on their own. So how much more all of them? The content, again, demands our remembering. But we can't stop there. There is still even more. So remember the promises that Peter gave to us in verses 8 through 11. There Peter unpacks some of those very great and precious promises. First of all, he tells us that we need to remember that whoever is growing in these graces will be kept by them from being ineffective or unfruitful in the Christian life. We also need to remember that growing in these graces is the means by which God guards us from becoming nearsighted or blind in the Christian life. We also need to remember that practicing these qualities comes with the growing assurance that you will not fall away. And finally, remembering living in this way comes with the promise that there will be richly provided for you an entrance into Christ's eternal kingdom. Once again, one of those promises is worth remembering. So how much more the whole of them? The content that we have considered demands our remembering. The foundation of our faith, this exhortation to grow in Christ's likeness, and the promises provided for our motivation, all of these things are well worth our remembering. So that is the first reason for regular reminding. But Peter provides us a second reason as well. Not only does the content demand it, but our current condition requires it. Our condition requires it. Notice what Peter says in the rest of verse 12. He says, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have them." With these words, God's word teaches us that we need regular reminding because of our current condition. Our condition requires it. Here Peter tells us that he intends always to remind us of these things, even though we already know them, and even though we are established in the truth of them. And so obviously this means that no matter how much we might know, we still need to be stirred up regularly by the truth of God's word. Just remember Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. Israel's story might well have the banner of forgetfulness hung over it. Forgetfulness was a common theme for them. The book of Exodus begins with Israel crying out in Egypt. They're crying out to a God that they had forgotten, despite the fact that God had never forgotten about them. Later on, we find Israel forgetting about God while Moses is on Mount Sinai. And later on in the wilderness, their grumbling and complaining reveals how they had forgotten the plagues which God used to bring about their deliverance, how they forgot about how the Red Sea was parted for their salvation and for Egypt's destruction. They forgot about how God led them by a cloud by day and a pillar by night. They forgot how God miraculously provided for their food each and every day. And when we read of this story of God's people, Israel in the wilderness, we sometimes wonder, how could you forget so many amazing things? How could you forget such a miraculous deliverance? How could you forget such an astonishing salvation? How could you forget daily grace and mercies which are new every day? But even to ask those questions, we quickly realize we are the same as they. We are the same as they because we see clearly Jesus Christ. We have the fullness of God's revelation before us, and yet we still forget. The content of the gospel demands our regular reminding, and the condition of our current state requires it. Our world would try to train us to have an appetite for the new and the novel, but the reality is what you and I as God's people need is a greater appetite for the old, the unchanging, and the eternal. You might think of it this way. You could go ahead and long for the new and the novel so long as it surpasses the old, the unchanging, and the eternal. You can go ahead and long for the new and the novel so long as it surpasses the old and the eternal, because as you can already guess, it never will. It won't ever surpass the truth of the gospel. The things that we need to be reminded of are far better than anything this world could ever offer or imagine. Every remembering, in a way, rescues us afresh by setting before us the whole of reality. And that is what we need as God's people. We need to live in light of the truth of God's word. Too often, like Israel, we forget what God has done for us, and we unintentionally consider our lives through a narrow window of only that which is right in front of us. These, again, are the reasons for the regular reminder. The content demands it, and our condition requires it. But there is more here. So let's go on now to consider the rate of reminding. The rate of reminding. What is the rate for this reminding that Peter recommends? Well, he employs three qualifiers to describe this regular reminding. The first is found in verse 12, where he says, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you." The second is found there in verse 13, "I think it right, so long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder." And then the third is found there in verse 15, when he says, "And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things." How would you describe the rate that Peter describes of this reminder? Again, Peter uses words like always, so long as, and every effort to describe the frequency that he is recommending. When I read these words, one word comes to mind, and it is the word constantly. Constantly. The rate of reminder is constantly. We need this reminding constantly. And why is this? Why is Peter here completely committed to pouring out the rest of his life to providing God's people with regular reminding? Well, we get the reason in verse 14. There, Peter tells us that Jesus has now made it clear to Peter that his departure is soon. Peter is standing on the precipice of eternity. He knows that he is about to die, and it is that reality that brings everything else into focus. It is that reality that helps him to see clearly. Knowing that his life will soon be over and knowing that he is about to enter his eternal rest brings clarity to him in knowing that he needs to pour out the rest of his life stirring up God's people. In light of eternity, he can see just how good the good news of Jesus Christ is. Thinking upon the way he has personally been delivered from an eternity in hell, and thinking upon how he will soon enjoy God in perfection forever, demands that whatever weeks or hours or days he has left, they be entirely dedicated to stirring up God's people. Conversely, in light of eternity, Peter can also see just what a waste it is to neglect in our lives the good news of Jesus Christ. Looking through the lens of God's word and living in light of eternity does that to a person. And this is why we need reminding regularly. Not only are we prone to forget, but as Peter can see from his vantage point standing on the precipice of eternity, forgetting is costly in terms of living for the glory of God. Well, remembering changes everything. Peter is writing from a place of remembering, and it has changed everything for him. Think about it this way. If you and I could right now see today truly and clearly in light of all eternity, in light of who God is, in light of what he has done for us, in light of his eternal love for us, in light of his suffering in our stead, in light of what we deserve and in light of what we receive instead, if we could simply remember all of these things, it would change today. It would change everything about today. We need regular reminding, and we need regular reminding constantly. There's more to consider again. Let's consider now the role of reminding. Seeing our need for regular reminding and seeing it more clearly even in Peter's prescription for a constant reminding brings us now to consider the purpose behind the reminding. What is God's goal in giving us regular reminding? Well, the answer is found there for you in verse 13. Peter writes, "I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder." The role of reminding is to stir us up. So what does this mean? Well, it means at least a few things. First of all, this means that God wants our lives as his people in this world to be unsettled in the best sense of the word. Now, for some things and in some ways, we need to be settled. We need to have a settled conviction regarding who Jesus Christ is. We need a settled conviction about what the word of God is and its role in our lives. It is very good to be settled about certain things in this life, but as this passage makes clear, there is a sense in which God does not want you to be settled in the slightest bit. Settling in this sense is not good. And so the Holy Spirit has now made Peter's priority the stirring up of us as God's people. So what does it mean to be stirred up? Well, some synonyms here are to wake up, to provoke, or to excite. This is what God has appointed his word and his truth for in our lives. This means God does not want you and I as his people walking through this life asleep, settled, bored, or indifferent when it comes to who he is and all that he has done for us. I want you to think about an experience that is common to many of our lives. What happened to you the very first time you saw the ocean? Or the very first time that you saw the Grand Canyon? Or the very first time that you stood on top of a 14er and you considered the vast landscape before you? Well, my guess is that when any of these things occurred, each of those remarkable realities stirred you up. They stirred you up with wonder and awe and excitement and joy. You probably couldn't even contain your praise. Well, brothers and sisters, God wants you to be so stirred by the truths of the gospel that you live your life as much as is possible in a state of praise, in a state of wonder. I mean, consider again these earthly realities, the ocean, the Grand Canyon, a massive mountain. All of these things are powerful enough to stir us up to wonder and praise. But then to compare any of these things to the truth of the gospel would be like comparing a candle to the sun. There is no comparison when we step back and by faith view the landscape of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. If these earthly realities are enough to invoke our excitement, how much more the reality that we have been loved by the one living and true God from all eternity? How much more the reality that God Himself entered into time and space to take upon Himself the wrath that you and I deserved? How much more the reality that as you are trusting in Christ now, you are destined for heaven? And how much more the reality that no matter what you suffer in this life, if we could add up all of our suffering together, God's word says to us that if you could only compare it to eternity, you would see that it is actually light and momentary. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be stirred up by the truth of His Word because this is the only appropriate response to the weightiness of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Now, as we consider these words in context, we can also answer this question in a more specific way. What does it mean to be stirred up by way of reminder? Well, look with me back over verses 3 through 11. It means standing upon the truth of the gospel, verses 3 and 4. It means living your life each day in light of the fact that God's divine power has granted to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. It means verses 5 and 7, striving after God's revealed will for our lives. And looking at verses 8 through 11, it means living in light of God's precious and very great promises. Brothers and sisters, this is God's will for our lives. And this is also why God has so positioned preaching in our lives. By God's good and gracious design, we never go more than 7 days without this regular reminding. This also aids us in understanding just one of the many aspects of preaching. One of the purposes behind preaching is this kind of provoking. It is to be provoked in the best sense of the word. Why? Well, once again, this clarity and this focus found in Peter springs from the fact that he is standing upon the precipice of eternity. He is standing at the end of his days, and from that vantage point, he can see all of life with a focus and clarity that we then need to borrow. We need to see what Peter sees as essential. And he sees what we need most, and he then makes it his top priority without exception and without qualification. His desire is even what we heard this morning, that we would live our lives in light of eternity. This is plain from Christ's words himself. He says, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servant in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Brothers and sisters, the role of God's word in our lives is to stir us up. It is to help us stay awake. And so we need to learn to prioritize, to prize, and to protect this role for preaching in our lives. We have one more consideration this evening, and it is the reward of reminding. The reward of reminding. What is the reward of this reminding? Well, listen to verse 15. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. There it is. Simply put, the reward of regular reminding is remembering. It is actually being able to, at any time, to recall these things. When I was young, my grandfather was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. I had never heard those two words until my parents sat us all down to describe to us what my grandfather was going through. And I remember being absolutely terrified at the prospect of what it must be like to lose your memory. Who are you, after all, if you cannot remember? I can remember thinking about what it would be like as my grandfather would soon forget my grandmother. I remember thinking about how hard it would be as my dad and all of his brothers and sisters would soon forget or be forgotten by their father. I remember thinking about what it was going to be like day by day as this grandfather forgot more and more who he was. The reason why this was so frightful for me was because of what it means. If you cannot remember, you cannot live life in light of reality. You almost die while living. I remember the way in which my family then walked the long road alongside my grandfather. Slowly over time, more and more each day, he forgot who he was. And with each new progression of that devastating disease, we watched my grandfather lose that most precious ability to remember. And losing that ability to remember, he lost all sense of who he really was. All that any of us wanted to do every time we saw him was simply to help him remember. We couldn't do it. But brothers and sisters, we see here in God's word that the reward of this regular reminding is that we remember. That we remember who we really are. That we remember who God is. Again, our lives in this world are so set up that we might forget. The world wants your attention upon the here and now. Your own flesh actually longs to focus upon what you can see and touch. And the devil, most of all, wants you to forget who God is and what he has done for you. And so in light of all of this, we can see that the inherent reward in all of this reminding is that we remember. That we remember God. That we remember who he is, that he is good and gracious. That we remember that his promises are sure. That we remember that our sins have been forgiven. That we remember Jesus Christ, our Savior. That we remember how we have been united to Christ. That we remember that we have become partakers of the divine nature, that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, that we remember that we are actually destined for heaven, and that whatever again we experience in this life, it will one day be far outweighed by the glory that awaits us. Brothers and sisters, again, the reward of reminding is remembering. This is again what Jesus says. Consider his words in Revelation chapter 2. There Jesus is addressing the church in Ephesus, and he begins by highlighting many positive things, but then he says their error is that they've forgotten. He says, I know all your works. your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. They had forgotten. Jesus goes on and says, so remember. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. Brothers and sisters, this regular reminding is so that we might remember. So that we might remember, repent, and return every single time we come back to the truths of God's word, because we are so prone to forget. All of this reminds me of the words of an old hymn that you may be familiar with. It says, tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in. That wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the story softly, with earnest tones and grave. Remember, I'm the sinner that Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be any time, in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. Tell me the same old story. When you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story. Christ Jesus makes me whole. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks for the regular reminding of God's word. Let us prioritize it, let us protect it, let us pursue it, so that we will remember. And in remembering, so that we will rejoice, so that we will be stirred up to live our lives to the glory and praise of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you have appointed the preaching of your word to cause us to remember. Lord, all of us know how prone we are to forget. We know how easily it is when Monday comes and life floods back in to forget the truths of your word. And so we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, even this week, having heard the word again, that this stirring up would go with us this week so that we might remember. Oh Lord, our desire, because of all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ, our desire is that our lives would be for your glory and honor and praise. And so we pray that this word would have its continuing effect in our lives, that we would grow so that we would at any time be able to recall these things, that we would remember, and remembering that we would then rejoice. Do this in us, we pray, for Christ's name. Amen. Let's